Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin and Scott Duran.
Hey.
Hello.
You are bookended by Scotts.
Oh, my gosh. That's a terrifying prospect.
Right. Okay. Well, it's nice to see you too. Good morning.
I feel the love already.
That's right. That's right. Good to see everyone. Welcome. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Nice to see everybody.
Here we are on the KSJE program. That's interesting. Of course, the program that invites you to call in and join us on the air and share what's interesting in your world. And so you can give us a call. The number is 505-566-3909. We'll start that up right now on the bottom of your screen. Give us a call, and we already have a caller.
Ooh.
We already caller. So let's go to the phones, because this caller's been waiting for a while.
Oh.
While I got my act together. I will own that. Okay. Wasn't you guys. But good morning. You're on KSJE. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning, Scott and Megan. I don't care if everybody's there or not. This is Roman.
Roman, welcome back to KSJ.
Hey, Roman.
I'm back, and I just wanted to say it is a great day. I love these mornings, the cool mornings and the warm afternoons. I really like this time of year. Fall's a great time, and it always reminds me of the beginnings of voting, which is actually starting pretty soon. I work here at the library.
And that's right.
Actually they're starting the voting process. The early voting site's going to be coming up soon. They're already starting to put all the voting machines in yesterday. So that's always an exciting time for me personally. I love it.
Nice. Nice. Very good. So for the November election, folks will be able to get out and vote early if they would like to, or they can vote on Election Day.
Yes, correct.
Gotcha.
And, I also want to say something exciting has happened to me the past weekend. We actually went and purchased an electric vehicle, and I've never done something like that before.
Oh.
And never had an electric vehicle, not even a hybrid, just straight electric.
Like a golf cart?
I wish it was a golf cart. It'd be a lot less expensive. No, it's an actual car, a vehicle to get around my daily commute into the Farmington area.
Good for you.
And the one thing I want to talk about was people trying to go green or people trying to get off of fossil fuels and hopefully, do something for the environment. But there is a serious lack of chargers here in Farmington, and there's a serious lack of fast charging. I've learned a few things about it. There's slow chargers and there's fast chargers.
Right.
The city actually offers about six chargers here around the town, but they are slow chargers. And what I mean by that, it takes a battery life, can take up to 9 to 12 hours to charge a battery. Whereas when you have fast chargers, those only take about an hour to charge up fully. And, that's the thing that needs to attract people to Farmington. If people are going to come up this way, and if they have these kind of vehicles, they want to make sure they have charging stations, which is I've learned the hard way. You kind of have to map out your journey that you're going to be going with where the stations are and where the fast stations are, because no one wants to stop here at any location on the way through and have to charge for 5 or 6 hours as opposed to, 30, 40 minutes.
What's the matter with a five-hour lunch break?
Oh, I wish it was a lunch break. I'd take those every day if I could.
Just a five-hour lunch break while your car is charging up on a road trip. Everyone
That's
loves that.
Wants.
Yeah.
So since the slogan of Farmington is Jolt Your Journey, I want to challenge everybody to bring the jolt here with an actual jolt of electricity to help out. And, just making people aware of these things and just spreading the news of what we've learned.
Interesting. That's cool. I knew we had chargers, but you're right. There is a difference between the slow and the fast chargers. And if folks are on kind of a road trip, you kind of want to be able to stop off and recharge in a fairly short amount of time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, cool. Well, good luck. Do you want to tell us what kind of car you bought?
I bought a Hyundai Kona Electric, and it is awesome. I love it. I'm having a great time. I've only had it for 1 week, so I've loved it every day so far, and I hope that you see more electric vehicles out there on the road. There's a lot of Teslas out there, and trying to get some, you know, some people traveling through. Here, the nearest big quick station is in Durango. So the last thing we want is people leaving here just to go to Durango to charge their cars.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about that. We'll see if we can get the city on board and some other folks to make that happen. But sounds good. Well, congratulations on the new car.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
And thanks for reminding all of us to get out there and vote. Appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks, Roman.
Talk to you guys next week. All right.
Bye.
See you, Roman.
Cool. How about that?
Yeah.
Electric vehicle. Would you guys consider an electric vehicle if you had to make a change in your vehicle needs? Megan Collip says no. Wow.
For the same reason he's talking about, the charger reason.
You charge it at your house.
Yeah, but then you got to install it at your house.
Well, yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing. How do you even do that?
I don't. Yeah, but you do it. You get it done. But okay. All right. You're a no.
I'm a no.
Okay.
And I like to take long road trips, like to the Eagles.
Yes.
It's a 7-hour road trip.
Right. You don't want to stop off in
I don't want to stop off
Pueblo,
I'm telling you,
for 5 hours
for five
to recharge
hours.
Your car when you're all concert bound. I hear
exactly.
You. Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Fair enough. All right.
I'm telling you, Megan, private jet.
Maybe you're going to stick with her diesel, whatever you got.
It's not diesel. It's gasoline.
Sorry. Okay. Gotcha. Your traditional vehicle.
My traditional vehicle.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Scott Duran?
So I'm sorry. As I kicked Megan. I would say no.
No, not you either.
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, it has to be.
I mean, if money was no object, because I know they're a little pricier than the average car.
I wouldn't say that. The whole battery situation, not just the recharging, but like if there's a cleaner version of getting lithium or a better version than just lithium.
Right.
To have a electric
car. It is very dreadful on the environment to mine lithium.
So, I mean, right now it's like.
All right.
Might as well just stick with the gasoline car for right now until it becomes better and it's more affordable.
Okay. All right.
You know.
Fair enough. Okay.
You?
Well, I had a hybrid.
He did.
You know, for a time. So I guess that kind of counts. It wasn't full electric. It was one of the gasoline electrics, and I liked it. It worked really well. And that's kind of what I tend to like. Again, I think for some of your concerns about road trips and things like that, I drive to see my sister in Phoenix a lot, and so, you know, I kind of use that as a gauge of range, and that's about 400 and some odd miles, and I don't think there's too many electric vehicles on the market right now that could drive that trip without having to stop to recharge.
Right.
And as Roman said, you kind of do need to plan out your route, because if you're not on a route that has a fast charger, you got to plan for maybe a couple hours to at least get you enough juice to get to your destination.
Right.
And then park it somewhere for a while and charge it all the way back.
I would say I probably would do that instead, doing the hybrid for right now. I would say probably doing the hybrid.
A gas electric kind of a thing?
Yeah.
If they had
my brother had one too, the Ford version, and it was nice.
Okay.
It was a nice car.
Yeah. I mean, I think those worked really well. I'm surprised that I don't think there's as many being offered. It's either all gas or all electric, it seems. There's not really that mix anymore. A few. I'm sure there's a few. And maybe someone will call us and let us know if there's a favorite hybrid car or all electric car. But I think things are going to get better. And I think there will be more chargers as more people buy them. It's one of those chicken or the egg things, I think, right?
Right.
Is do you put in all these chargers before there's a need for them? And then just kind of have to make that major investment? Or do you wait until there's more electric cars on the roads and then put in more chargers to deal with that or service that market kind of a thing.
Right.
So,
no, but in time, it would probably be the better choice to probably go all electric as it gets better.
Well, I think that's where we're headed. I think we could definitely see the writing on the wall, right? But there's a lot of folks that are concerned about the electric grid. If everyone starts plugging in their cars at home, you know, overnight, there's not as much demand for electric power. And so maybe the grid could handle some of that overnight, but maybe, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But if you have your own solar panels on your roof, you know, and you can plug in your car, you could charge your car for free, Megan Cullip.
You know how expensive it is to install solar
panels?
You
could drive to any concert you wanted for free.
I am telling you, private jet.
There you go. Anyway. Okay. What else is going on today, everybody? What else is interesting?
Well, I'm reading a book. interesting. Good,
okay. All right. Good for you. And what did Dick and Jane do this week?
Yeah, exactly. So the book is called A Life Worth Living.
Okay.
And it's based on, there was a class at Yale called Life Worth Living. And these authors were the professors of this class. And they took this class and they distilled it into book form so that everybody else can read it and learn from it. And what I found, I'm not too far into it, but they set this up, they set up life as like four stages that we are experience. And the top stage is autopilot. So it's your habits and your reactions. It's kind of surface level. You live on autopilot.
Okay.
The second stage is called effectiveness or efficiency. And that's kind of what the health and wellness community is always pushing for. Like, I want this, and what's the most effective way to get, you know, healthy, happy, long life. And then it's self-awareness, which is, what do I actually want out of life? And then the last one is self-transcendence, which is, what's worth wanting?
Whoa. So okay.
that's a big question. What is worth wanting? Not just what do I want, but what's actually worth wanting,
right,
for the good life, for the life worth living?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. And you're just starting this book?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I guess it's not necessarily maybe what's achievable, or right, is it kind of what's achievable in what you want, what's worth living?
Well, say it was more abstract, like what is worth wanting is, say, a value of courage or something.
Okay, okay.
That's not necessarily something you grasp. It's something you live out,
or
right?
Aspire to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That is cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. You read a lot of books, don't you?
Well, I'm kind of a bad reader in the sense that I like start a book and I read like part of it and then I get bored and switch to a different book.
Oh, you don't finish them?
I usually don't finish
TV.
Books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like TV for Megan. You know, she starts a show.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. See, I feel like I need to finish what I start. So I try to, I mean, that's why I don't read more books, I think, just because I don't, you know, don't stick with them.
I'm with Megan on that one. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah. I'm still reading this one book for like ever, like, and I don't know if you do this, but I started reading it and then I had to stop and then I kind of do something else and then I had to reread it because I missed what I've already read.
You forgot about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I finally kept up with it, but it's the same thing. Like, I would read it and it gets really good and it's awesome, but when something other comes into my life that I need to attend to, I kind of forget about reading the book.
Sure.
I go to the laundromat to read my book. And every time I go do laundry, I bring the book with me.
Okay.
So that way I have no other option but to read the book.
There you go.
Right.
That could force you to do it, I guess,
yeah,
right?
So, right.
Okay. So. That's cool. All right. Very good. I need to be a better reader, I think.
It sounds like you're the best reader.
Well, I read a lot of news articles and stuff like that during the week to try to be informed of what's going on. But, you know, but other than that, I don't read, you know, some
How's
of the books.
How's your stress level, man?
You guys do. I know, right? That's true.
Yeah.
Just stop reading those.
Yeah, I prefer long-form articles
over
full books, actually. I'm a big article reader.
Okay.
But I prefer podcasts over everything else. I mean, I feel like it's reading adjacent. If you pick the right podcast, it's
true.
Very informative.
Right.
Right.
You learn a lot, and the interview format is much more interesting, usually. And so.
Good. Yeah, I would agree with that. And, and we've seen a big explosion of podcasts.
Oh my gosh, everybody has a podcast.
We have a podcast. Look at that. We're going to be a podcast. The show is going to be a podcast.
Yeah.
How about that?
I didn't know
so
that.
So there you go. So you can listen to it, everyone, at the laundromat if you want to.
Yeah.
Wherever. Doesn't matter. So there you go. Okay. Cool.
When you're buying your new electric car.
That's right. That's right. Scott, what else is going on? You brought something. You have something I know.
I did. I brought
something you discovered.
I did. So recently I was trying to, as Scott and Megan know, I mimic the sound of a drum kit with my vocal cords, right?
You do.
Yes.
I beatbox.
Do it.
Yes.
It doesn't sound very great with these.
Okay.
Oh.
Trust me, I've tried 1,000 times.
Better in person?
It's, yeah.
Okay.
But on this little journey I was doing, I was trying to find like this new technique and how to do like more like dubstep, like the electric sound, like vibrating your vocal cords and stuff like that. But in this process, this PBS video popped up on my thing about a bird that mimics whatever sound is surrounding it, and it's called the lyrebird. So I started watching this YouTube because I was like, what is this?
You got drawn in, didn't you?
Yeah,
that's what the internet
does.
Yeah.
I was like, why did it pop up all of a sudden when I'm trying to figure out how to do this new technique? Like, I'm trying to learn all this stuff. And I guess because
now your algorithm is all messed up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, not only does he want to learn how to beatbox, but he wants to learn about birds.
That's right. That's
right. So let's see what happens. But no, I found out about this bird, and it lives in the rainforest, and it's kind of looks like a brown pheasant, and it's probably approximately 31 to 39 inches long. So it's a pretty thing.
Yeah.
And it has this massively long tail. Okay. But the funny part about this song, about this bird, is that it has a song which it uses in communication or in mating, which it mimics the surrounding sounds. So it could be whatever it is, and they started to play different sounds, and one of them was a car horn. And they kept repeating this over and over to see if the bird would eventually mimic the sound, because it would mimic everything else around it.
Okay.
The, you know, monkeys, other birds, whatever it could. And eventually the bird actually did, and it mimicked the car horn.
Wow.
Pretty
in the
pretty
middle active. Of the rainforest or whatever, yeah. Right? Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's a small bird. It doesn't really fly. It doesn't, you know, it kind of flaps itself to jump up into to higher elevation if it needs to, but it's pretty much a ground level bird. It burrows itself in the roots of the trees, and that's where it makes its nest. It's very isolated as an adult, but as a young one, a youngling, they actually travel like, you know, almost in a pack. The siblings will travel together until they find a place to live, and then one will stay there and the other one will eventually move on to go find its own place or find another pack until it eventually finds its home. But yeah, it would mimic the sounds, and I was like, that is absolutely wild to me, because I knew about, what is it, the you know, parrots, obviously.
Sure.
Mockingbird. Mockingbird.
By name, right?
And then ravens. Isn't it ravens that can mimic human sound or something like that, mimic a voice?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I knew about that. But yeah, to actually mimic an actual sound, though, almost pretty accurately, was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Interesting.
But it has a small radius. It doesn't leave more than like 20, 30 feet around its house. Eats, you know, the same things, bugs, insects of all sorts, seeds, whatever it finds them, right. You know, down on the ground. But it doesn't leave its home very far. So whatever surrounding sounds it has is what it
that's mimics. What it picks up.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
How about that?
That's interesting.
Isn't
that's
it?
Interesting.
Right.
Go PBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You got sucked into the YouTube hole.
I did.
That'll happen.
I was trying so hard to figure out how to do this. I was trying so hard to find a video to mimic the sound that I was trying to do. And it just popped up.
Well, so. There you go. Cool.
Awesome. Darn algorithms.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Cool. What else?
Well.
Oh.
Yeah. You go.
Okay. Well, I was going to give away some tickets.
Yeah, give away some tickets. Yeah.
We have that to talk about today, everybody. So we wanted to remind you that we are able to give away some tickets to some upcoming performances here at San Juan College. And so tonight, as a matter of fact, here at San Juan College, part of the Cinematech series of foreign films, Los Tarantos. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Is
ask
playing...
the resident Latino.
Well, I'm asking I asked the room. I asked the room. Is going to be playing in the Henderson Fine Arts Center Theater for $5. But you can win a free ticket if you go to, and this is the website we want you to go to, ksje.com/tickets. And you can register for a chance to win a pair of tickets to this show or the other show coming up on November 1st called Sugar Skull, which is also going to be performed. Thank you. Thank you very much. At the Henderson Performance Hall. And tickets to that are $10 to $25. But we have tickets to give away to that, too. You can sign up for both if you want to come to both or for a chance to win, or one or the other, depending on your schedule. But the website is ksje.com/tickets. And that will take you to the webpage where you can just give us your name and phone number and email address. So if you do win, we can let you know. But if you want to go to the show tonight, I would say register right away, because we're going to probably be drawing winners for that right after we get off the air here at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
So good luck.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome that we're giving away tickets.
I know, right?
I love it.
We thank our friends over at the Henderson Fine Arts Center for their generosity.
Yes.
And we appreciate that. And then since I've got the floor, I'm going to talk about our On the Road program that we just a couple of days ago. We were actually at the Farmington Civic Center doing a behind-the-scenes look at Little Shop of Horrors. I almost said Rocky Horror, but that was from a couple years ago. Yes. Little Shop of Horrors, which is on stage now. And so you can go to our Facebook page or our YouTube channel and check out our On the Road program from the Farmington Civic Center and see some of the behind-the-scenes of Little Shop of Horrors, and in here from some of the actors, and of course Randy West, the supervisor, yes, who's putting the show together. So
we love Randy.
There's that. Yes. Yeah. So there. That's all. That's what I have today.
All right. Yeah, well, I have something called Theory of Mind.
Theory of Mind.
Have you guys heard of it?
No.
No.
Okay. So it's often talked about as it pertains to autism spectrum.
All right.
Theory of mind is the ability to understand what somebody else is thinking or feeling.
Oh.
So, mind reading.
Not mind reading.
Oh.
But like, if you come to me and you have something going on, it's my ability to connect and be like, Scott is...
It's like a nonverbal.
It's a nonverbal thing. Like, oh, Scott's feeling sad, and I can recognize that and understand that.
Okay.
And they're discovering that some of it has to do with memory. So there's two types of memory: episodic memory and semantic memory. Semantic memory is like facts. So, you know, I went to the store, I went to the laundromat, then I went home and I worked on my car or whatever. That's a semantic memory.
And read your book.
And read my book about the life worth living.
At the laundromat.
At the laundromat. And then episodic memory is like events that happened that you can actually connect to a feeling. So the ability to think back and be like, oh, when my dog died, I also felt sad or lonely or whatever.
Okay.
And so people who have deficits in this episodic memory have sometimes a hard time connecting their like thoughts and emotions of other people.
Oh, okay. Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I would assume, maybe would affect someone's empathy for another person.
It can affect empathy.
Right?
The
if you don't have
feel...
that way to maybe connect with that person or whatever from your own experience or not seeing the similarities.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. And it's called?
Theory of Mind.
Theory of Mind.
Wow.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that what? Yeah. So, so you're picking up on a feeling plus... nonverbal cues, right?
Right.
It's a whole aspect of it.
Right.
And then you try to, okay. Ah.
And I think we can think about that we've maybe had a friend or someone and it something seems off.
Right.
And then you kind of think about what it could be to try to help them or whatever. Is that the kind of the idea without having to say, hey, what's up?
Right.
Or what is wrong with you? Or what's going on?
What is up with you?
Yeah. Not probably helpful.
What is wrong with you?
Right.
That's one way to
approach it. There goes my empathy, but you know, it doesn't work for everyone.
Yes. I mean, it's interesting to think about because I prefer direct speak. Like, I actually prefer that over like insinuating and talking around issues. Like,
sure.
I always like somebody who like cuts to the point.
Right.
You know, it clears up a lot of like the what's happening here type of feeling.
Right.
So.
Well, I think too, you don't want to be wrong.
Right.
You know. And so that's another part of, I think, my being more direct. But I think sometimes it's maybe a way to break the ice, to try to at least get the other person maybe starting to talk about what could be wrong or what could be going on. Or, you know, like it seems like something is wrong. Is everything okay? Type of a conversation, right?
Right.
So, okay.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. How about that?
That's a good one.
We're learning more. Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, you had something else to bring up because I had something to add to your comment about that I'm waiting to share. But
so,
I can't share it until you share yours.
So you have to wait. He has to piggyback up. Okay.
I do.
I understand.
Okay.
I do too. In my ignorance, because I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
I know. It really was. Once I mentioned to Scott,
you can hear the sound of people turning up their radio knobs right now. Like, oh, what?
Oh, I'm ignorant.
Well, because Scott automatically, I'm pretty sure you probably knew about this. Mine pertains to the NFL team, the Saints, right?
I don't know anything about NFL. So.
No, that's right.
It's football.
But you've seen, I'm pretty sure you've seen their logo.
Yes.
The Saints logo.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
No, but it's a French thing.
Damn. Darn. Sorry.
Bleep.
Yes.
Please. All right.
What the heck?
It's a French thing.
It is a French thing.
Okay.
Again, in my ignorance, I didn't know that. Apparently, as Scott would like to say, can you say the name for me? Because you do know how to pronounce it right.
The Fleur de Lis.
Fleur de Lis.
Thank you.
Which is the French depiction of a lily.
Oh.
It's a lily flower. The fun fact was the NFL team, the Saints, is the only NFL team that has a plant or a flower as a logo.
Yeah.
Doesn't like everybody else has a depiction of a
animal,
like a person
usually.
Or an animal or something like that. So, but yeah, it's the only one that has a plant. But I didn't know about this. But yes, it is. It was a part of the French monarchy. It was a mark of the French monarchy and also used in Quebec in their flag. And again, because New Orleans was owned by the French at one point, it was used as their logo.
Dang.
Oh.
And, you know, since New Orleans is the big one, you know, the most famous out of the whole, you know, the right. biggest famous city,
yeah.
and they had their team, the Saints, they used it as their logo.
Okay.
Oh, there look at Scott. Right there he goes.
Right there. Wow. On the screen.
And again, to me,
it's thank you, Wikipedia.
Never, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. There you go. Look at yeah. me. So. You learned something new, is what you're telling us.
I did. Again, I did not know that. When it said it, I was like, well, I thought that was something. I honestly thought it was like a spearhead or something. I don't know. Because the way theirs is like elongated, so okay. it looks different than right. that.
I could see where that you might think that.
Yeah, that looks more like a like
because
a plant.
Yeah, when a modern company maybe uses that as a logo, it's not quite as intricate maybe as it
yeah,
is pictured
it
here.
It can be, right?
And so that's maybe the idea. But yeah, it's an old symbol of French royalty, right? I mean,
yeah.
that was the thing. So,
yeah.
A lot of fleur-de-lis. So, there you go. And New Orleans, of course, was a French port city.
Yes.
Back in the day. And there you go.
That's why Creole is a combination between English and French.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a native tongue there.
True. And food.
The food is amazing.
Right?
Food is amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
the baguettes, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Those are
anything
great.
With chocolate. I mean, come
I know,
on, right?
right?
That's the thing. So, okay. Cool.
But, so, what did this lead to? You have something to add, Scott.
I do. I do have something to add. Thank you, Megan.
Yes.
Yes. Appreciate that. Because on this date in history, it is notable because it was on this date in 1803 that the U.S. Senate, after due consideration and lots of debate, ratified the Louisiana Purchase, which included New Orleans, of course, but mm-hmm. then the whole rest of much of the Midwestern United States from France.
Right. Yep. It was bigger than just Louisiana.
It was. Yes. Well, yeah. it was the Louisiana Territory, but it yeah. kind of went, you know, went up into the Midwest for sure.
Yeah.
And I think the story is that the negotiators were said, you know, you can spend maybe, you know, $10 million on Louisiana, you know, or New Orleans.
Right.
And that's it, you know. And then Napoleon, who was funding his war against England in Europe, offered the entire Louisiana Purchase for like $15 million.
Yeah.
And so the guys were like, yeah,
the
we'll
guys.
Take it. You know, or
so
whatever.
The guys.
You know, the
gang.
The team.
The
you know,
team.
Yeah.
The gang. Were,
the gang.
The gang.
You know.
They're like, yeah, let's write a check.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, I don't think, and overnight, the United States at that time doubled in size.
Yes.
You know, and that yes. was kind of the other part of that as well.
Have you ever seen Drunk History?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what that reminds me of. And then the guys were like, write a check for $15
million. Yeah,
and then, like, I know. All of a sudden, the Louisiana Purchase has gone very much.
It's a great way to learn history because it's really funny.
It is funny.
It is.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's
it
true.
It is accurate.
You know,
yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah. So that's a good take on it. But there you go. Your fleur-de-lis. You know.
Well, I'm glad I could help, man.
It it has this part. And this was what happened on this date. You know,
look at that.
How about that?
So, and then the Saints got their logo.
That's true.
That's how that happened.
Exactly. That's true. Very
exactly
true.
Time.
Exactly.
Well, holy moly. But yeah. yeah. So I mean, again, it's just I saw it and I was like, how in a word, in a Hispanic word, we could say tonto of me, which is kind of saying moronic or anything like that.
Mm.
There's a more accurate term, but that's how generally we use it. Not a very bright person. Not a very bright moment.
Oh.
So there's your interesting fact of the
okay.
word tonto.
So we needed to sign you up for an American history class?
Apparently, man.
Okay.
Holy moly, because I didn't know about this. I'm too busy learning about birds in the rainforest.
Well,
yeah.
You have
which was also interesting.
Priorities, that's okay.
Yeah, the bird in the rainforest was really interesting.
Have either of you ever been to New Orleans?
Yes.
I have.
Both of you have? All right.
Yes. Well, you remember because I left and you were mad for like a week.
I'm always mad when you leave because, you know, we need you here. But it's all right.
I went
but you
to
earn
New
your
Orleans
vacation time, so you get to go places.
Yes.
I went before Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
So I'd be interested to go back and see the lasting effects of that.
Right.
Because that was the lasting effects of that went on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 years later, they're still like cleaning up, and now it's been, you know, what, like 15 years or something at least.
Right.
I don't math. So.
Right. Yeah.
17 years, something like that.
Maybe. Right. For some of those neighborhoods. I think some have come back, but maybe some are still struggling.
Yeah.
Is maybe what we're hearing.
Right.
So,
yes. Right.
But yeah. So I've never been. So
yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, you should go. It's interesting.
Well, oh, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
it is. Definitely. I went around actually this time. No, actually, closer to. I went during Halloween last year.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of like almost the same thing as Mardi Gras to them.
Right.
Because they do Mardi Gras,
see
right?
See that.
And
right.
then it's like they do kind of like the same thing for Halloween.
Right.
Which the whole entire, what's that, Bourbon Street?
Mm-hmm.
Is just filled with people in costumes, throwing beads, the whole shebang. You know, the music and the nightlife there is absolutely crazy.
But
during the day, you just see just beautiful works of like, I don't know what kind of type of architecture it is at that time, but like the very southern kind of house.
Southern Gothic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Buildings and stuff like that. You can go to like all these great cemeteries to see the cemeteries, because it is part of their tourist attractions to see the cemeteries.
Yeah, the above ground cemeteries.
Right.
Which, if you do that, remember to walk backwards outside of the gate. They tell you that.
Okay.
That's superstition.
Okay.
But they say if you walk with, you know, without noticing it, the spirits will follow you out.
Oh, no wonder.
And leave so you turn around to face them, and then they stop, and then you can walk out, and you're safe.
Okay.
But they have a whole thing. You can go
leave
down.
Leave them in their mausoleums.
You didn't bring them back with you then.
No, we never got to go and check them out. We were trying to, but we just didn't have time. We did go see the alligators and stuff like that over there at the bayou and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I went to an airboat tour, which is an alligator.
That would be cool.
And you're on an airboat.
Right. Did you see some?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty freaky.
How close were they?
Close.
Yeah.
And uncomfortably close? Scary. I mean, they're reptilian, right? So it's an automatic. Like, if they see something to bite, they're not thinking, should I bite this or not? They're just
smack. Whether it's a boat or something else, I guess.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think I would have I was a kid, so I was like, yes! But now I'd be like, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, eat it!
Yeah.
You wouldn't dangle your foot off the edge a little bit?
No.
They tell you. They tell you not to.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Because I mean, I'm pretty sure you've seen the TV shows. They hunt alligators and crocodiles, and I don't even remember what that show is. But they hang like raw meat because they do have the sense of smell and stuff like that. So if they smell like the raw meat and stuff like that, they'll jump up and get it.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like if you have your arm hanging outside, and if a gator is swimming and it sees it, it you said, it's slightest
no thank you
sight, and if it sees it, it's gonna snap at it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Good times.
Good
times. Oh, that's not the only thing. You got snapping turtles too.
Well, okay, they're not quite as.
Oh no, they're
alligators.
Pretty mean.
Are they?
They're
I'm sure they're
gators.
Mean. Okay.
Alligators apparently if they see you, they'll probably run away.
It's all relative, right? I mean, we have scorpions here and rattlesnakes, so I guess it's all relative, right?
There's something to kill you everywhere.
That's it. There's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's where we're going to leave this show, ladies.
That's right.
There's...
No one's getting out of here alive.
No one's getting out of here alive.
That's what's happening.
Sorry, that's a guarantee.
That's right. There you go. Okay. Well, on that note, everyone, we are about wrapped up for the show this week. How about that?
We covered a lot of ground as usual.
We did cover a lot of ground. Exactly. And we appreciate everyone who listened and watched and called in. If you'd like to help us spread the word about this show, you can share this from our YouTube channel or our Facebook feed to your friends and neighbors and networks and remind them that we are here with the show on the 1st, 3rd, and sometimes 5th. Fridays of the month. That's kind of how the schedule works out, right? So here we are, and this is what was supposed to be the third Friday.
This is the third Friday.
Yeah, there you go. So that's why we're here. And on the other Fridays, the second and fourth Fridays, is the other show that we do with Megan. We give Scott the week off.
Yes.
He goes to New Orleans
we
or something.
We do Solutions from the Street, where we talk about a problem and interview a local solution maker.
Yes. Non-governmental is kind of our key, right?
It's a little
community-based
grassroots
solution.
Grassroots or nonprofit.
Something like that. So that will be here next week and on every second and fourth Friday of the month right here on KSJE. And if you have an idea for Solutions from the Street, you can let us know. A suggestion?
Yes. Go to ksje@sanjuancollege.edu and drop us a line.
You can send us an email to that address and we'll get it and we can investigate and maybe get them as a guest on the show.
Yes.
On a future show. So we hope that you will do that. So we've gotten some good suggestions.
We have.
So
keep them coming.
Exactly. Tomorrow morning, Let's talk about your show.
Radio Free Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. And it's a great way to kick off the weekend. It's the eclectic music mix. You never know what you're going to hear. Sometimes it's familiar songs, and sometimes it's way, way unfamiliar songs. So
right. Whatever you found.
It's whatever I find. And
it's roaming through the halls here.
Yes. And I take a theme, and I organize the songs around a common theme. And tomorrow's theme is healing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's kind of a sweet theme.
Okay.
Yeah.
A healing theme.
A healing
theme.
For 2 hours, yeah.
Okay.
So if you're in need of a little tender love and care, just sit down with your radio and take it in.
I like it.
9 to 11 a.m.
So. Got it.
And then following that, we have Scott Duran's show.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I will be doing the World Beat Show at 11 a.m., and we're going to be listening to a second version of Baracha music.
Oh, and what country is that from?
That is actually mostly from, like, Mexico and stuff like that.
Nice.
Okay. Some of the, like, we kind of come out towards, like, Cuba and stuff like that a little bit. It's mixture of the two, but we're listening to Ramon Santos.
Oh, okay.
Who, at the time, wanted his entire career to be about this genre of music.
Oh, nice.
So we're gonna continue on with that, and it's been nice.
Sounds good. All right, that's tomorrow at 11, everybody. So we hope that you will have a great weekend and a safe and enjoyable one. The weather's supposed to be really nice and hot.
It is.
Yes.
So enjoy that. Maybe one of the last warm weekends of the fall.
Yes.
Maybe.
How about that?
Maybe. So. But until next time, everyone, we will see you right here on KSJE. That's interesting. Have a great Friday.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.